Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
All right, we're going to go out to practice at 11:20. This came down yesterday. Andre Johnson, member of Bill O'Brien's coaching staff, no longer with the coaching staff. He is not going to be a part of the staff. We'd been seeing him at practice daily. He'd been working with the receivers. He was basically an advisor to Bill O'Brien. Not going to be the case anymore. Here was Dre with who else? Mark Berman talking about why he is no longer a part of the staff.
You know, it was just a lot for me. You know, I almost felt like I was back playing again. You know, it was a lot of hours. And, you know, it was something I wanted to experience. I got to experience it. You know, I'll still be around. I just won't be around as much as I was. The whole thing of just being there every day, you know, it just, I didn't realize how much of a full-time job it was. Mm-hmm. You know, as you know, I just decided to take a little break, but I still, you know, like I said, I'll still be there helping out. You know, at times it just won't be as much.
So your role has changed?
Yeah, Berman.
Yeah, I'm not actually on the staff anymore.
Was that a tough call for you to go that route?
I wouldn't say it was a tough call. You know, that was one of the things I was telling Bill, you know, when we sat down and talked. You know, I commend those guys, like, you know, just how much work, you know, you have to put in and how much work goes into it. Man, it's a long haul. So, you know, those guys are great at what they do. And, you know, I'm always here to support, you know, the Texans. You know how I feel about that organization and what the organization means to me.
So Andre Johnson not going to be on the staff anymore. Look, a lot of guys don't really understand or grasp just how much work these coaches put in. And it's not for everyone. But Dre got a little taste of it. Now he's probably going to back off a little bit, be a little bit more of an ambassador type. Mm-hmm. But he is not going to be coaching. Bill O'Brien met with the media minutes ago and was asked about this by Berman. And this is what B.O.B. had to say about the conversation that he and number 80 had that led to Andre Johnson no longer being a member of the 2020 Texans coaching staff.
Yeah, Andre and I spoke for a while, you know, about 2 weeks ago maybe. And, you know, look, Andre's an awesome guy. He loves the Texans. And, you know, he just decided that at this point in his life, he wanted to concentrate on some other things. But he's going to be around. He'll still come around, come to practice, be in the locker room. You know, he's a Ring of Honor guy. You know, he and I have a really, really good relationship.
As if you could respect Andre Johnson any more than we already do. I really respect the way he could have come up with all kinds of different, you know, excuses or reasons why, you know, he wasn't going to be around. I want to spend more time in Miami, more spend time with my family. Instead, he was like, dude, this is hard, man. This is really time consuming. And I've made $106 million in my career on the football field. I don't need $200,000 or whatever the number was that they're paying him to do this. I mean, I just respect it.
Yeah, and I don't think it's really like a huge deal. I don't know how much Andre was really.
It's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Andre was in there. I mean, he was helping when he could, but it's not like, you know, he was a significant part of the coaching staff or anything.
Right.
But he's no longer with the Texans. And, yes, Mark Berman, his role has changed. He will not be at practice every day. Andre can actually sleep
He'll
in a
do
little bit.
Something, but just not getting there at 6 and leaving at 7.
No.
You know.
No. He's going to get to relax.
Yeah.
Andre will finally get to relax. A year ago today, where were you when Andrew Luck announced his retirement?
I was about to watch the Texans, I think, man.
You were watching.
Watching the Texans.
You're watching them get their ass kicked by the Cowboys.
Wondering what happened to Lamar Miller. Wasn't that also the same day?
Tore his ACL that day.
And it was one of those stories, and you always know the impact and size of a story when your immediate reaction is, no, that's not true. You know, you have to check the check marks, no pun intended, to make sure that the reports coming out are actually had some credibility. Well, they did. Now, they had some credibility, and in one of the most shocking things this division, this league has ever seen, Andrew Luck retired.
I mean, there were context clues that Andrew Luck, something weird was going on. They kept pushing him further and further back. He wasn't practicing. Brissett was taking all the first-team reps to where I think I made it clear that something just wasn't right. Something was going on. I was like, man, there's something with Andrew Luck. This is strange. And then he ended up retiring. I mean, it basically changed the whole landscape of the division, because we know how important the quarterback is. And we thought that Andrew Luck going into his 30s with the new offensive line that the Colts had built, we thought, I mean, a lot of people were talking about the Colts being the biggest threat to New England at the time. And you know, Kansas City was still, you know, on they had just lost the AFC Championship. A lot of people were very high on the Colts. And then quarterback retires, and the just entire landscape of the division changes, because you had Marcus Mariota at the time as the starter with the Titans, Deshaun, Andrew Luck, and then Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. And Deshaun was the clear Deshaun and Andrew Luck were the clear top quarterbacks, and you thought maybe the Colts had a better roster outside of the quarterback position. You can have that, but as soon as you lose the quarterback, you basically take 8 steps back. And that's what happened with the Colts. The entire landscape of the entire division changed when Andrew Luck made that announcement.
And what's that old saying? Heavy is the crown. You know, because it's one thing for Brissett to have been taking some reps and getting you know, getting on the practice field, but when you are all of a sudden overnight the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, it's a whole different world. And you're right. That changed everything.
It changed everything. And I don't know, you know, the Colts were obviously beat up, but it's a different division, to say the least.
And now it's completely different again.
Now it's different. You have 3 out of 4 new starting quarterbacks in the AFC South. 3 out of 4 that weren't the case last year. I mean, it's been like a revolving door. Gardner Minshew's now the starter in Jacksonville. At this point last year, it was Nick Foles. You have Phillip Rivers instead of Andrew Luck. Deshaun's the only staple, and Ryan Tannehill was called in to be Mariota's backup last year. So 3 out of the 4 quarterbacks in the AFC South as we sit right now are different. Deshaun is the only staple. He's the only clear-cut coming back, and I think he's by far the best QB in this division. I don't know what Phillip Rivers is going to be, but even if Phillip Rivers – let's say Phillip Rivers is – perfect for the Indianapolis Colts. Let's say for the next 2 years, Phillip Rivers is just playing some good ball. He's going to ride off into the sunset. Even then, you don't know who the quarterback of the future is going to be for the Colts. The Texans have the only quarterback that's not only the best, but the one that you know is going to be here for a long, long time, 3-4 years. Although we were saying that about Andrew Luck when he was young in his career. So who knows with Deshaun, but Deshaun is going to be here, it appears, a long, long time. So you have the best short-term quarterback, and you have the best long-term quarterback in Deshaun.
You do. A short term is what we're worried about, obviously, because, you know, the entire complexion of the front office might change if the Texans don't get it done again in the next couple of years. So I'll let the Colts worry about their future quarterback. These next 2 years with Phillip Rivers, how he plays is going to determine a lot of futures in this division.
John Harris said something today on Texans radio goes from 8 to 10 during training camp that is spot on with what I'm gathering when it comes to the AFC South. And we'll hear the audio evidence of this a little later on. But if you're just talking about vibes in training camps, and you know me, I go listen to all the press conferences afterwards, and I try to read as much as I can about teams in the AFC South because it does impact the Texans. I think he was spot on with his assessment of the overall vibe. There's a negative, like, awkward vibe in Tennessee right now. And I don't know what I don't know how exactly to explain it, but it's weird that a team that went to the AFC Championship game last year, that's returning 10 of 11 starters on offense, the vibe coming out of there, it's negative and it's awkward. I think a lot of it could have to do with Vic Beasley being a complete disaster and them losing Jarrell Casey. I also think there's a lot of uncertainty and some paranoia with Mike Vrabel when it comes to who's going to call the defensive plays. They don't know who's going to call it, so that's always what they're talking about, and they're always asking about that and Clowney and all that. But I'm with John Harris in that there does appear to be like a negative, awkward vibe coming out of the Tennessee camp just based on hearing people and hearing guys speak. And it's weird for a team that went to the AFC Championship last year to have that type of vibe. Elsewhere in Indianapolis, it's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
They seem to be just excited. They're on cloud nine. It almost seems like they have something to prove. Phillip Rivers is like getting up at 2 a.m. every day and going to the building and just skipping around like a kid at recess. They're very happy with their rookies. It almost feels like they think that these rookies are going to have a significant impact, not in the future, but this year. They feel like they have something with Jonathan Taylor. They feel like they're more healthy. They feel like T.Y. Hilton has something to go.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Reich seems excited. It is very strange when you look at the AFC South that the Titans just it seems awkwardly negative there, and the Indianapolis Colts just seem to be – they seem to be on cloud nine right now, and the Texans, I think, are somewhere in between that.
I got to tell you, I'm not feeling that with the Titans. I just think there's not a whole lot of news, not a whole lot of – newness around them. There's continuity outside of, a couple players that they've lost. Just because they're not making headlines or they're not saying crazy things, I think it's just kind of like going about their business. I'm not sensing that vibe. It's so weird because when I heard John Harris say that this morning, I'm like, really? Maybe he knows something I don't, but I don't feel that.
Now, see, to go on your side of things, they could just also be, and it could almost be a good thing because – in 2017 or the 2018 offseason, the Jags, it almost felt like the Jags assumed that because they made the AFC Championship that the best was yet to come and they were the class of the division. So they were on cloud nine and there were positive vibes coming from there. And we've seen how that's gone since. They've been trash ever since. They haven't made the playoffs. They've had like three different starting quarterbacks. So you've had that. There is a word that Taylor Lewan, the offensive tackle for the Titans and other guys have used, and it's crossroads. They don't think that making it to the AFC Championship last year is something to build on. They think it's like a crossroad moment where you either go where Jacksonville did after they went to the AFC Championship in 2017, or you go where the Chiefs did the following year where they went to the AFC Championship in 2018 and then got over the hump in 2019. So maybe the paranoia and maybe the awkwardness could just be that they are being overly – they're making an intense attempt not to be sipping the Kool-Aid on the AFC Championship appearance. So you could be right. But they're definitely not as high as the Colts. They're definitely not as giddy as the Colts, and I don't even think they're as giddy as the Texans. Maybe it's
focus,
but it is a weird situation in Tennessee because I think if the Texans had made the AFC Championship last year, I think we'd be hearing about it. We'd be hearing about next step.
Well,
it almost seems like they're the team that went 4-12, and the Indianapolis Colts are the team that's trying to build on going to an AFC Championship.
See, I just feel they're not like a sexy team. You know, they're just kind of nose down doing their work. That doesn't make it awkward. The Colts are kind of the trendy team right now. I've been on them and talking about how I feel they're going to have a big year. They have two guys at the top that are very, very, very much popular right now as a great coach and to be and a great general manager to be. Texans have Watt and Deshaun Watson. The Titans don't have any like mega stars, unless you count Derrick Henry, and they're kind of just quiet. It does make it awkward.
We'll hear from the Titans tomorrow as well as the Colts, and we'll see what the OG has to say about that. But let's go to practice. The pads are on at NRG. Sean Pendergast is there. We're 17 days away from Texans versus Chiefs. There's going to be a scrimmage on Thursday. Let's get a practice report from Sean Pendergast now.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Should they or shouldn't they? Earl Thomas. Should the Texans roll the dice? I think it's unanimous. Unanimous. Hell no.
And that's hard to do.
Hell to the no is the answer on my end, which is hard for me to say. What say you, OG?
Yeah, I say the same, man. I mean, it's just way too many things going on around him over the last few years. To me, it's kind of a sad story. No, well, not even kind of. It's a sad story when a guy shows this kind of distress.
Stuff like this happens, bro.
Emotional distress over the course of his career that the Ravens didn't even accept him anymore.
And you couldn't be happy with the Ravens. That's another thing. Like, that's where that's where you want to go on the back end of your career.
Right.
You want to go to a place like Baltimore, who had the best record in the NFL in the regular season last year. You want to be in Baltimore.
Chance
that's
where to
you win. If you can't be happy there to the point where your teammates come out and call you out and say they don't want you there, that's an issue. I mean, Antonio Brown even had some supporters with the Steelers up till when he left.
Yeah.
The fact that the leadership of your team went up to the coach and said, "We don't want you."
They voted.
Why would the Texans want that? Why would the Texans want that? Plus, it's not like he's even the same player. And I love Earl. There's something wrong with him. Mm-hmm. There is legitimately something wrong with him. His behavior this offseason has been strange. He's always had, you know, the mental obstacles, always had a little bit of social awkwardness to him, even going back to Texas where he kind of found his way, got a little bit more comfortable speaking. But you're text messaging the Seattle Seahawks GM during negotiations because you want to be the highest-paid defensive player in the league. That doesn't happen, so you end up becoming the highest-paid safety. Then on your next contract, you get carted off the field. You flip off Pete Carroll and the GM, and then you go to Baltimore. You have the offseason incident where you get caught ass naked with your brother in bed with two other girls. Your wife pulls a gun and a knife on you.
Stuff like this happens, right?
And then that comes full circle, and you go to Baltimore. You're getting in arguments with teammates, and they want to get rid of you. That's the situation Earl Thomas is in. That's why I say heck no to him. And I think a lot of times your personal life can bleed into what's going on at work. And even if, I mean, the stuff with his wife, it's easy to separate it and say football players play football and all that for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think you combine that to his mental state. I just don't think Earl Thomas is mentally stable and a good enough player to validate the risk that would come with the Texans bringing him in.
Totally agree. And, you know, I'm not so sure who outside of, I mean, one team.
Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys are the only team
that
would be willing to roll the dice because, I mean, he has a bad influence on locker rooms. They weren't sad to see him leave in Seattle. His teammates voted to get him out of Baltimore. So it's not even just the fact that
voted and paid.
Yeah, and paid for him to walk away. So it's not even just like, you know, you would think that's a team where he would want to play for the chance to win. You would think that would be a team that could accept him because they are one of the most accepting teams in the league.
There's also talk that he kind of freelances a little bit, which was cool when he was in his prime, but now all of a sudden he's freelancing and he's making the wrong decisions, which is what many people say led to the fight, the final straw for Earl Thomas and the Ravens. Let's talk about the current Texans team, though. Let's go out to practice. It was a full padded day. Let's go to Sean Pendergast with a live practice report here on Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go inside the bubble from Texans training camp with Sean Pendergast.
Sean, how'd they look with the pads on? Give us the biggest takeaways you had today with the pads on for the Texans 17 days away from the game against the Chiefs.
My biggest takeaway, good day for the DBs. I think if you're concerned about the starting defensive backfield for this team, then today would have been a good practice to watch. Bradley Roby had a great practice today. He was in the hip of all the receivers in the one-on-one drills. He intercepted Deshaun Watson on a crossing route, took it back. You know, if there were real tackling going on, I think it might have taken it. You know, we don't know because guys just play two-hand touch out here. They don't bring them to the ground. But he would have taken it back a nice distance. Lonnie Johnson had a pretty good day as well in 11-on-11. He was also working out with different position groups at the beginning of practice, as you guys probably saw on Twitter. So They're and then Justin Reed had a great practice today in the 11-on-11s. He was in the hip of everybody that he covered. So that's my big takeaway today is that it was a good day for the defensive backfield.
How much did they go at it, so to speak? You talk about two-hand touch, but they do go 11-on-11. What were the takeaways from the offense outside of maybe, you know, the DBs had some moments?
I would say takeaway from the offense.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say they continue to just pound the usage of these running backs. You know, I'm really excited about David Johnson and Duke Johnson and some of the things that they're doing with them. You know, Brandon Cooks didn't really do much 11-on-11 today, but this is the first time I've talked to you guys since Friday. Landry, you were there yesterday, so you saw how good Cooks looked in the bit of 11-on-11 work that he got. He had a really good practice yesterday. And Deshaun, aside from the interception to Roby, which was a really bad throw, Deshaun continues to look like he's ready to go. So they're doing a lot of mixing and matching along the offensive line, I think, probably to just get some guys ready for other positions if need be. You know, that there's the underlying thing with a lot of the stuff that's going on with the Texans, not only at practice, but in the way that they're working the roster right now. I mean, you guys saw they signed a long snapper yesterday or over the weekend, and you might go, in a normal year, you might go, why are they signing a long snapper? Why would you have two of those? The coronavirus lurks with all of this stuff. And if you know, if someone gets hit with COVID, or as we saw this weekend, a rash of false positive tests with COVID where you've got to play it safe, there are certain positions on the field where you just may have to have a second one of these guys somewhere, somewhere on the roster.
This long snapper can go straight to hell. You stay away from John Weeks's job. You hear me? Sean Pendergast.
I don't think Weeks is in trouble, but I would recommend that he social distance.
I don't think you have to worry about that with him. Let's be honest. John Weeks is probably going to be the safest. There's knock on wood. My observations yesterday, my two biggest observations that I think impact the actual roster. Number one, I think Bill O'Brien is paying a lot of attention to the punt returner. DeAndre Carter dropped a couple yesterday. Bill O'Brien is right there, right behind DeAndre Carter watching that. So that stuck out. And as far as the tight end position.
Hey, Landry, real quick. He was doing that again today during kick return. O'Brien spent a ton of time at the beginning of practice on the field where they were doing kick and punt. So he was, you may be onto something there. He was spending a lot of time on that field before practice and a lot of it in the end zone right next to DeAndre Carter.
I think it's something to keep an eye on. Hanson was back there with him.
QT did not practice today.
It's 4 days in a row. That's 4 days in a row without it. I think if QT's not scrimmaging on Thursday, I think that's something that we need to make note of. They might be just getting him ready for that scrimmage.
Maybe. I don't know. He was doing everything in practice, and all of a sudden, 3 or 4 days in a row, he's doing nothing. I don't know, man. I don't know if that's what I'm smelling with this. But he was out there today. But he's in a T-shirt and shorts.
Short shorts. He likes those short shorts, too.
He does like the short shorts. I mean, the guys who get rest at practice that are getting handled with kid gloves are guys like J.J. Watt and Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks. Kiki Kuti is a guy who might not make the team, you know?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're onto something there. The other observation that I want to get from you, I think there's a tight end that's clearly better than everyone else, and I think there's a tight end that I don't even know how you can feel comfortable putting him on the football field, and I think you might know where I'm going right now. Jordan Akins is by far the best tight end on this team, and I think they have a good group of three. Kahale Waring yesterday, you could see the frustration from Will Lawing coaching Kahale Waring, and you could just tell this guy did not look like he belonged. I don't know if you stashed this guy on the practice field or what, but he does not look like a guy, and I'm even talking about some of the undrafted free agents. He does not look like a guy that I would be comfortable putting on an NFL football field anytime soon.
Yeah, I think, you know, Landry, it might come down to something as simple as who was championing the pick of Kahale Waring in the war room the night it was made? Because we remember that Brian Gain was the general manager at the time.
Yeah.
And Bill O'Brien has maybe not openly admitting it, but just observing from the outside, he's kind of made a point of trying to, I think in his mind, right some of the wrongs that might have been made by prior regimes, both the regime before Gain and the Gain regime as well. And so if Kahale Waring was a guy where Brian Gain felt like he was stepping out and being the smartest guy in the room, because the guy was basically a water polo player until a few years ago, Collie Waring could be, I don't know if you knew that. Collie Waring might be on a very short leash. Who knows? But yeah, he doesn't stand out. And what was advertised?
Oh, he stood out. If you were following the yelling, he stuck out like a sore thumb. You followed the most cussing and screaming. He was right there.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about as someone who hopes that they win football games this year. He hasn't really stood out. Like he doesn't do anything special, at least not from what we've seen. And that's all we've heard is the high ceiling for this guy. And oh, what an athlete he is, and this and that. Landry, you're right. He's so far behind these other three tight ends right now. They're going to have a real decision to make. But man, does another team pick up Kahale Waring to put him on their 53?
No.
I think he'll make it through waivers, and they can put him on the practice squad.
I'm convinced that we're going to all be surprised come 17 days from now that all these practices they missed, OTAs, et cetera, are not going to be that big a deal. I really feel like they're going to realize, you know, we don't need all that nonsense. If these guys just do their own deal, get in shape, get here a few weeks. I'm not going to say it's going to stay this way, but it might surprise you that these guys are going to be ready to go.
Guys on both sides of the ball, it's not like the defense is getting a different training camp than the offense. I mean, it's everybody's and all the teams are there. Everybody's singing off the same sheet of paper on both sides of the ball and with all 32 teams. I don't know if the owners want it that way because I think they like those preseason games and what they represent from a gate standpoint and stuff like that. But as my eye is educated as somebody who watches football 24/7, breaks down film and has been in the game all these years? No, but I've watched a lot of football and I'm watching practice. And Deshaun Watson looks ready to go. You know what I mean? His timing is impeccable right now. The receivers, the frontline receivers, when they're in there doing things, they look pretty ready. So we'll see. John, who knows? We've never seen a preseason like this before, but I don't think you're crazy by saying that. Yeah.
Sean Pendergast, Practice Report. Sean, always a pleasure. Appreciate you, man.
All right, fellas. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, there we go. It's a trip to the bubble. Speaking of that, Whitney Merciless, he spoke. What did he have to say about life without Romeo? Plus, Zach Greinke got the internet going nuts once again next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, where are the Texans 17 days away from their game with the Kansas City Chiefs? Let's ask Whitney Merciless how far along this team is. Whitney, how y'all doing?
As far as where we stand at, not exactly where we need to be, I'll tell you that. To break our limits right now and keep pushing forward as far as stamina wise as well too, and our fundamental and techniques as well. So it's on a consistent basis, and just work on our communication as well too, to be able to always be on the same page, to minimize a lot of mistakes that happen in practice. So we're much further than we were along about 3 weeks ago, but we're not quite there yet. So I would say we've still got a little bit of ways to go.
That's kind of what I was talking about with Sean. I feel like a lot of players and coaches have just been conditioned with, you got to be here for this, you got to be here for that, you got to be. And I'm not saying they can just mail it in. That's not what I'm saying at all. I don't think it needs to be as intricate as they make it. You know, a lot of times coaches try to make football into like rocket science, and it's not. You still, and plus you have to trust your players. This also isn't the 1970s when a guy would go be an accountant for 3 months after the off season. Now these guys, it's full-time job. They have personal trainers. They understand the technology, that they can get all the playbooks, all the, you know, all the information they need, what they're going to be running, etc. I'm just saying, I think it's going to be surprising. It's going to be an impressive opening weekend in terms of the level of play.
It's a hell of a shot that you're calling right there.
I think
the problem I have is a lot of opening weeks are sloppy. But I feel like if there is just like natural slop that comes with opening,
people are going to overstate it.
Oh my gosh! Yes. This is why they need OTAs. I've watched sloppy ass opening weeks for years here in Houston.
Totally agree. See, we've been conditioned too. People who cover the game and follow and watch the game, where like if Laremy Tunsil has a false start on the opening series,
midseason form, baby.
People could go, man. He really could have used some more preseason. No.
Not a target on my back.
No, not a target either. I think people are just conditioned, you got to be out on the field, for 4 months before the season starts. Not in today's world. I really don't.
Here's more from Whitney. Texans got a first-year defensive coordinator in Anthony Weaver. Romeo Crennel, for the second time, has gone from defensive coordinator to basically special advisor for the coach. Our own Seth Payne caught up with Whitney Merciless and asked him about Romeo still being in the building but not being the defensive coordinator.
This is the second time that Romeo Crennel has stepped aside while a younger guy has come in and been the defensive coordinator. Was it awkward the first time that it happened, and how does Romeo maybe handle it in a way that maybe other defensive coordinators wouldn't be able to?
You know, Romeo has confidence in the guys who step into that role. So you absolutely do see that and allow them to, take the lead, take the charge. And you always have Romeo there to consult, come up with some great packages, explain things, why not to do this, why to do that and all that. So, we pretty much rock with everybody who's been there.
I mean, what a luxury. What a luxury to have Romeo Crennel just available and just to be able to tap into that knowledge. And I'm talking about Anthony Weaver, too, not just players.
The defense, still very concerning.
Yeah.
The D-line's just there.
Well, that's been my big concern. Everybody talks about the secondary, and we have, too, but apparently they had a pretty good day today. Lonnie Johnson had a good day today. Defensive front is going to be an issue.
I mean, the linebackers look good. You got McKinney, Cunningham, Dylan Cole. The linebackers look all right. And Jonathan Grenard, Whitney Merciless, like, they look okay.
Mm-hmm.
The D-line, especially when JJ's on the side stretching, very meh.
Yeah, that's what they look like coming in.
Very meh. And, I mean, you were trying to bring in a Jernigan for depth and stuff. The D-line just doesn't look great. The O-line, though, does look very good. Returning all five starters, Nick Martin, one of those guys. We know he's Bill O'Brien's favorite. Here's Nick Martin messing with the Zoom, talking about Titus Howard in his second year and Laremy Tunsil coming off being one of the highest paid offensive linemen in the NFL. He's talking to someone on the Zoom, and I guess the lady had her dog with her. So Nick Martin got a little bit soft before he talked about the tackles, starting tackles for the Texans.
Going into year two with Tunsil and just what you've seen, that maybe although the tape doesn't lie, you're getting to see it firsthand. And also, what you're seeing from Titus in his second year coming off of his rookie.
Yeah, I will if you tell me your dog's name.
This is Angel.
Angel? Hey, Angel. My wife loves the dog. So. It's funny, when you watch other people, you know, they find a way to get the job done, but it might not look as pretty. Like with Laremy, he's always in the right position, and he just does things the right way. Titus, like, he's a mauler, man. He loves to get after people. He loves the game. He loves to throw people around. He's got that natural playing strength on the field, so we're excited, really excited to have those two, you know, lock down the ends.
Nick Martin channeling Be a Genie there a little bit, huh?
No, not that bad.
No, not that bad, and he's a much better player. He's kind of channeling Be a Genie there.
He's just loosening up.
Shout
a
out
bit.
To Angel.
He's just feeling himself.
Yeah.
Shout out to Angel. Not much of an Angel, Earl Thomas. He's available. He was sent home and released by the Baltimore Ravens. Here was the breaking news from Tom Pelissero of NFL Network when the drama first came full circle.
Ravens sent home their star safety Earl Thomas yesterday, told him to go home from the facility after a practice altercation with his teammate Chuck Clark. Now, the Ravens are back on the practice field right now. Earl Thomas is not out there. I am told that the Ravens told him to stay home today.
Yeah, they did. And then they ended up letting him go. And that was, as we've been talking about here, a shocker, not just from the Ravens' perspective, but Earl Thomas's too, that he couldn't even make it there.
Deshaun Watson weighed in immediately, quote, "Surprised the Ravens released my guy, Ed Earl Thomas, hearing all the noise, but Earl's always been someone I can rely on when I had questions. I have nothing but respect for him. Can't wait to see where he lands." According to John McClain, Houston, no way. No chance in hell, not going to happen.
Good.
Earl Thomas will not be a Houston Texan. Then it's been thrown out there. It looks like he's going to end up being a Cowboy eventually. But John McClain says, hell to the no. Earl Thomas will not be a member of the 2020 Houston Texans. Neither will Andre Johnson. Andre
That's
Johnson
right.
Not going to be a member of Bill O'Brien's staff. Here's Andre Johnson with Mark Berman talking about why he decided to step down and no longer be a member of the coaching staff.
You know, it was just a lot for me. You know, I almost felt like I was back playing again. You know, it was a lot of hours, and, you know, it was something I wanted to experience. I got to experience it. You know, I'll still be around. I just won't be around as much as I was. The whole thing of just being there every day, you know, it just, I didn't realize how much of a full-time job it was. You know, as, you know, I just decided to take a little break, but I still, you know, like I said, I'll still be there helping out. You know, at times it just won't be as much.
So your role has changed?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not actually on the staff anymore.
Was that a tough call for you to go that route?
I wouldn't say it was a tough call. You know, that was one of the things I was telling Bill, you know, when we sat down and talked. You know, I commend those guys, like, you know, just how much work, you know, you have to put in and how much work goes into it. Man, it's a long haul. So, you know, those guys are great at what they do. And, you know, I'm always here to support, you know, the Texans. You know how I feel about that organization and what the organization means to me.
I just love it. I just love his honesty. You know, we always hear about how long the hours are for coaches. Then he got in there and he's like, man, this is tough.
No thanks.
I made $106 million in my career, and now I got to do this.
Peace.
Yep.
Went Magic Johnson. I'm not going to be there. Year ago today, Andrew Luck retired. This was Houston native Andrew Luck after he shocked the AFC South and the entire football world by walking away at the age of 29.
I haven't been able to live the life I want to live, taking the joy out of this game. And after 2016, where I played in pain and was unable to regularly practice, I made a vow to myself that I would not go down that path again. I find myself in a similar situation, and the only way for me is to remove myself from football in this cycle that I've been in.
Yeah, it was a lot worse. He couldn't stay on the field, couldn't get on the field, which was the surprise was he had just played the previous season at a high level at the end of the year, and then all of a sudden this happens. But I wonder how Andrew Luck is feeling right now health-wise, if the thought has even crossed his mind.
To come back?
Yeah.
He could.
I don't know. Maybe it's gotten worse, you know?
Maybe he feels better. Maybe he's getting that itch. Let's go to Pavtex. Pavtex, what up?
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Man, every time Bergman comes on, that reporter, I wish he would ask Andre, hey, Andre, you were the original silent assassin. How do you feel about Greinke taking your name?
Speaking of Greinke.
Oh, my goodness.
Had the internet going nuts. That's an alley-oop from Pavtex. Other NFL news, Lamar Jackson, he's nursing a groin injury. Former Texan corner, current Cleveland Brown, Kevin Johnson, had a lacerated liver.
Yeah.
And was released from the hospital this Saturday. You going to say a whole lot of suck now?
No.
Jared Stidham of the Patriots.
Very serious injury.
He injured his hip. It'll be several weeks before he's back to normal, so Cam could have the driver's seat there. And the Houston Astros swept by the Padres. I thought they would win all three. They lost all three. 4-3 loss on Friday. Saturday, they got dominated 13-2. And then yesterday, 4-3 loss with Zach Greinke on the bump.
And Greinke was, he's a national treasure. I mean, he threw a 53.5-mile-an-hour
curveball.
I was going to say Ephus, but it wasn't really even an Ephus pitch. It was just kind of a slow curve. And then they were repairing the mound, I guess, because all the pitchers were
sitting crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, just sitting behind the mound like it's story time in kindergarten, you know?
That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Here's Lance McCullers on his start on Friday. He wasn't very sharp, to say the very least. This is Lance McCullers, who's given up a lot of two-strike and two-out hits.
But it's kind of been my Achilles heel this year. I've given up a ton of two-strike hits. I don't really know what to attribute it to.
Why does he never know why he messes up? It's always like a fluke when Lance McCullers messes up.
Because it couldn't have been him. It couldn't have been...
He's hilarious.
He's intense, man.
Not as hilarious as Zach Greinke, though. Zach Greinke yesterday, the 53.5-mile-per-hour strike. Lowest pitch that's been thrown in, I believe, 3 years. He was asked about it. Here was what Zach Greinke had to say about why he decided he was going to throw it up there 53 miles per hour.
I wanted to throw a slider in, but I was doing those signs that me and Molly get sometimes, and he set up a way, so I knew we weren't on the same page. So I was like, man, I was about to throw a pitch, kind of a pitch out, and then I was like, maybe step off, and then I was like, okay, no pitch out, and then I don't know what happened the last half second where I ended up throwing it as a strike. So definitely wasn't planned. Hopefully I don't do that again anymore. usually I try to throw a pitch out with it, and I don't know why I didn't throw a pitch out that time. It just kind of didn't happen. Whenever I get crossed up with a catcher and he sets up to a spot that I wasn't expecting, I usually either step off or throw a pitch out. A slow pitch out. I don't know what happened the last, like, tenth of a second.
I have a theory. You want a theory, conspiracy theory here?
Go ahead.
Didn't he and Brent Strom have a bet that Greinke couldn't throw a pitch under 60 miles an hour? I remember a couple of weeks ago when Brent Strom was talking about, you know, how he was this silent assassin. And Brent was talking about that they had a bet of some sort. I'm guessing Greinke just kind of said, you know what? I'm going to win the bet while I'm at it. You know, he maybe got crossed up with Maldonado, but decided, you know, this is a good opportunity for me to throw under 60 and win that bet with Brent Strom.
I have no idea. I just think he's just out there having fun.
Well, he is.
And he does goofy stuff.
He is doing that.
I think that's what's going on with Zach. The crazy thing about the Astros is you lose three in a row, you don't lose any ground. When it comes to that second-place spot in the AL West, you're still up 4.5 over the Rangers. Big series this week. You got the Angels on their last breath. Then you're going to face the A's, so maybe you can make it interesting in the AL West. Then you face the Rangers. This is going to be their last-ditch effort. We're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
After tomorrow, 8:10 first pitch here on Sports Radio 610. You're going to hear the post-game show immediately after that. But the thing is, there's really no panic because all you got to do is get in the postseason, and that's where the Astros are at. Rockets, in about 3 hours and 10 minutes, they're going to be looking to take a 3-1 lead over Oklahoma City. Lost a game they had no business losing, game three on Saturday. Eric Gordon with a game worst minus 29, plus minus, six turnovers in game three. After having a team best plus 23 in game two, also had as many combined turnovers. I think the key to the Rockets winning is going to be Eric Gordon actually showing up. You can't be minus 29 if you're Eric bleeping Gordon. You got to show up, especially without Russell Westbrook, buddy.
Eric Gordon is key, but I think the bigger key is their three-point shooting has fallen off a cliff. And more specifically than that, James Harden is shooting 20% from three-point range.
Not great.
The last two games.
Not great.
Let me say that again. James Harden is shooting 20% from three-point range the last two games. Now, he's certainly capable of, heck, shooting 48%, and they win by 30, all right? But the team is not knocking down threes like they did in game one. Even game two was dicey. And now Harden is not knocking down threes as well. Harden makes shots. I don't care what Eric Gordon does. Yes, Eric Gordon needs to play better.
He can't be a minus 29.
Right, right. He needs to play better. But if James Harden, you know, leads the way, they will win. And, you know, it's just on him. You can't shoot 20% and be the guy. Can't do it.
Eric Gordon, by the way, is a negative in this series. He's actually a net negative. He's minus 5 overall, but minus 29. After being plus 23, I mean, you gotta be a lot better than that. Another thing that maybe the Rockets could do in about 3 hours and 8 minutes, Steven Adams left the game with a bruised knee. Maybe try to challenge him and see what he looks like, whether it's pick and rolls or whatever. Mm-hmm. See if the big guy who the Thunder would probably like to keep on the court, Rockets wouldn't mind going small for small against OKC, although that didn't seem to work in overtime. When Chris Paul and company ran away, might want to test Steven Adams. And you got to keep the rebounding deficit to within 10. I know you're playing small ball, but you got to keep it within 10. Still not time to panic, but you lost a game you had no business losing. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Let's take a look at the Houston Texans, 17 days away from the start of the season. A lot of people want Earl Thomas to come to town. We will talk about why that's not a good idea. We're also going to hear from Kenny Stills and Jacob Martin. Keep it locked in. The Loop continues next.
Stuff like this happens, bro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.